This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The world's financial system has its eyes on French banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. All indications are today that markets are at least going to open down when U.S. trading starts in about half an hour or so, about 40 minutes from now. Major banks in France, the world's fifth largest economy, are driving European markets lower this morning with reports of possible bank runs and even an Asian bank cutting off lending to French financial institutions. What does that mean for Wall Street? And if European debt is what American investors are really worrying about, who's leading the global herd? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Horwich.
As Americans, it's tempting to think of the relationship between our stock market and its counterparts in Asia and Europe like a dog wagging its tail. In truth, it's more like a dog chasing its tail. We watch them, they watch us, round and round we all go. Arturo Brice is a finance professor at IMD in Switzerland. He says most big investors own shares everywhere and tend to make the same moves around the globe.
That's why we should expect the U.S. market to follow the European market and the reverse. However, in the current situation, we have already seen in the last days that this is not the case.
While it may look like all of us around the world are freaking out as one global chorus, Brice believes the markets are acting volatile for their own reasons. In the U.S., it's the S&P downgrade. In Europe, Brice says markets tanked yesterday when the French president called off his vacation.
This volatility is difficult to explain because it's driven only by investor sentiment, even when there is no news.
Historically, the U.S. stock market day sets the tone for the rest of the globe. But Rob Carnell, chief international economist at ING, says important news about debt issues in France and Italy is shifting who's influencing whom.
The news flow is increasingly going to be driven by what's happening in Europe, and that should also be reflected in U.S. markets later today.
Carnell says global markets tend to move together over time, but on any given day, the dog can quit chasing its tail and start chasing the latest distraction thrown out by the news cycle.
He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel!
I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. As we mentioned, European shares have turned lower now after the French bank news. After starting the day in positive territory, too, we were up like 3% in Europe and now down an average of 2%. Asian shares dropped today, no doubt following the lead of Wall Street yesterday, where the Dow gave back all of its gains from Tuesday and then some, closed down 519 points at 10,719. And yet, a couple of pieces of uplifting news this morning. The government just reported the number of people filing for first-time jobless claims fell to a four-month low, below 400,000. And RealtyTrack said today the number of foreclosures in July fell to a 44-month low. Foreclosures, of course, have been a big drag on the housing market for years. So are things finally turning around? Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith.
Foreclosures have dropped this year, and home prices have started to stabilize. But the bad economic news we've seen this week could set things back. Richard Green directs the USC Lusk Center for Real Estate.
It does change the game in that if we see unemployment start to go up again and people losing their jobs, then you'll see foreclosures go up.
Green says economic uncertainty could also kill demand for home buying because people don't like to make major investments in uncertain times. Housing economist Christopher Thornburg says we're in for a bumpy rest of the year.
I don't think the U.S. market is going to turn around anytime in the near future. The problem there is mainly due to the lack of equity, and really only time can fix that.
That equity problem? It's big. More than a quarter of homeowners in the U.S. owe more on their homes than their homes are worth. For that to change, Thornburg says, foreclosures have to slow and employment has to pick up. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kelley.iu.edu.
Today, we know 9 of the 12 members of a congressional committee looking for $1.5 trillion in spending cuts. It includes Senators John Kerry and John Kyle. But will the committee be able to make those tough choices? We can draw some parallels with another congressionally established commission put in place to recommend controversial military base closures. Former Congressman James Bilbray served on the Base Realignment and Closure Commission. He's with us now. Congressman, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
I know Congress is naming members of this debt super commission this week. Do actual names and people matter, or do you think it's more about the structure of it?
The things to look at is who is getting appointed to those seats. If the Democratic side points most people that are on the far left, you can get an idea where it's going to go. If you find that there's a lot of Tea Party members, it's going to be very tough, too. On the base closing commission, we had military people, non-military, but it was really not a real partisan group. This will be a very partisan commission. But if they get mainstream Republicans and mainstream Democrats on the committee that can forget the partisan part of it for a while and try to balance it and realize we've got a real problem, this could really work.
Do you think this is sort of Congress punting the ball?
Well, I think that in some people's minds, absolutely. When I was in Congress, I always said I was in the state legislature, Nevada first, that Nevada legislature was geared to pass legislation. The United States Congress is geared not to pass legislation.
What lessons do you think should the debt super commission learn from your base closure commission that you were on?
I think they can look at what we've done over the last 30, 40 years on these base closing commissions and say, hey, this can get done. And the fact is, I think this was a good idea. I really do. Hopefully, they can, in the time that's required, they can get something done so the sequestration doesn't have to start when you start having to go across the board with cuts, just slicing instead of really doing surgical removals of problems.
Former Congressman James Bilbray from Nevada, thank you, sir, for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, check out our website to see the numbers. You can get the podcast while you're there. Just tell us what you think. It's all at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.